It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
The Brooklyn Nets story that is continuing to get some steam as Kyrie Irving went on Instagram Live, told his side. Alex Schiffer joins us from The Athletic on a progressive guest line to talk about Brooklyn on the team side, the Kyrie side. How are you, Alex? Thanks for joining us.
Been a heck of a week, man. How are you?
Good. By the way, Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Alex, what was your biggest takeaway from anything or a majority of what Kyrie said yesterday?
Good question. I mean, you know, he kind of backed up Shams Charania's reporting as to why he's sitting out. He said he's not retiring. You know, he talked about it not being about the money, but he didn't want to do it anyway. I don't know if there was one big takeaway. I mean, the way he's kind of handled these things before, he's always kind of told this side of things at some point or another. So I guess the retirement thing was probably the biggest takeaway I had, just because there'd been an idea out there that the only team he would play for was the Nets going forward. And now that maybe opens up some room as to would he be open to playing elsewhere. So, you know, his reasoning was kind of confirmed, and, you know, along with some other things with his views, but I think that was probably my biggest takeaway.
The Nets are saying that they don't want him as a part-time player. Do you think that's etched in stone here? I mean, as the season progresses, could they make a change and say, well, yeah, we could probably use you in a couple of situations here?
I agree with you, you know, especially with you look at all the injuries they had last season. I mean, if anything happens to James Harden or Kevin Durant, all of a sudden, you know, he's just kind of out there in the wings and there becomes this great need for him. I personally took Sean Marks' comments as we're putting our foot down with him with a lot of the stuff that he's done. And this is just another example of that. But, you know, he also was quick to say that anything's on the table and that this is unprecedented. So I will never say never, guys. So it wouldn't stun me if there's a world in which he's back with them, but just right now, that's hard for me to kind of fathom.
I know we kind of get into preseason mode and preview mode, but Brooklyn without Kyrie, where are they in the hierarchy of the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, I mean, I still definitely put them towards the top. You know, Milwaukee, I had kind of had them with neck and neck. You know, the Nets themselves have been very respectful when discussing the Bucks that they, you know, they beat them. They went on to win the whole thing. The East goes through Milwaukee. Let's not get this turned the other way. I would have had the Nets like neck and neck with Milwaukee. Now I am more on the opinion of the Nets are probably the second best team in the East. And you also look at the Bucks. Just, I mean, they're not going to have any drama like this year. So I think they're second. Maybe they could fall to third. I kind of want to see what Miami and Philly look like. Philly's got their own problems to resolve, of course. But I just think that they've gone from, like, you know, potentially the lock of the East or the top team in the East to that top tier, you know, depending upon how the standings fall.
This is an interesting angle here with what Kyrie's doing, because it's a larger conversation that we're having as a country. How do other players on the Nets, as much as you can garner, how do they feel about this? This isn't just a basketball thing or a fight with a coach or an argument with front office. There seems to be a larger political angle to this or a larger national debate to this. Are they understanding of where he's at with all this?
You know, I think they've done a very good job of kind of walking the line of respectful but not controversial, in that they've all said it's a personal choice that he made, and they respect that. But they've also been very vocal that they want him with the team. So I definitely think if this were happening with you and I think that there'd definitely be some, you know, kind of resentment or,
sure,
you know, kind of a sense of selfishness that he's portraying. I mean, you know, a lot of the, you know, I mean, Kevin Durant, James Harden, they both got the vaccine. You know, Kevin Durant had the antibodies after having it. So, I mean, a lot of these guys kind of came around to it one way or the other, and he's the lone holdout. So I just think that, you know, there has to be some underlying feelings, because it's human nature, right? And I'm not faulting the Nets for that at all. Like, I think any of us, if we were in that situation, we would be. They've just done a very good job of disguising it.
From the standpoint of what Kyrie is set to lose. Is he going to lose money, or is there a CBA angle that can they basically the question is, can they take money from for this?
Sean Marks said that he's going to lose a game check for every home game, which is about $16 million. You know, his salary for the year is around $34, $35 million. You know, that's about $20 and change, you know, roughly still on the table. I think some of that's off the table with incentives. Obviously, they're related to games played and the domino effect from those. And then there's that, you know, so he'll get paid for home games, but I don't think much more than that. So the other thing I wonder about, you know, he has some endorsements, obviously. You know, his Nike shoes are some of the most, some of the biggest sellers in the country, in the world. You know, they haven't put anything out there publicly on this, but, you know, he's a big part of their basketball business. So I feel like, we're, at some point we might hear something on that. So I think it's more, and then obviously the 4-year, $186 million extension is off the table for him right now, too. So, I mean, altogether, you know, there's over $200 million he stands to lose. And, again, that Nike factor makes me think it's well over that.
Alex Schiffer joining us from The Athletic as we talk the Brooklyn Nets. And, you know, last year it was interesting to see these three guys, and one guy would play, another guy wouldn't, and it was hard to get all three of them on the court at the same time. When they did, how powerful were they? How good did they look when all three were playing?
They were unguardable. They were, I think it's 11-1 in games which all three played in, and that one was like their second game together in Cleveland where Colin Sexton had the game of his life. You know, the abilities you have with all three of them are a terrible situation for an opposing defense. You could stagger all three and have it so one is on the court at all times. You know, you can move Kyrie off the ball with Harden as the primary point guard. Kevin Durant is already like the queen of the chessboard. I mean, they just cause so many problems. And then, you know, you could have three good defenders on all three, and then you have Joe Harris, one of the league's best shooters, wide open from three, or, you know, somebody down low open. So that fully healthy, they're very tough to beat. But fully available, I guess, is a new way to put it. So again, we'll see if all three ever are on the court again together. But, right, you know, the margin for error obviously goes down or is obviously reduced, maybe is a better way to put it, with only James Harden and Kevin Durant out there. In their defense, the Nets were 4-1 last year in games in the regular season with only Harden and Durant. And they were 1-2 in the playoffs, but obviously that was with a very hobbled James Harden. So regular season, it's a small sample size, but, you know, the Vegas line on them as a favorite hasn't moved at all. They're still considered the betting favorites, even without Kyrie Irving, according to BetMGM and some other place I was looking at. So I think that they're getting the benefit of the doubt for now.
And it has to be a little frustrating because, again, they're a Kevin Durant toe away from going to the finals. And we see teams talk about unfinished business, get back to where we left off, that kind of attitude. And yet right now there's a little bit of a holding pattern.
Yeah, we were talking as the Nets writers, by say we, that, you know, the team was almost like in purgatory prior to the announcement of him being sidelined. Like, he was just going to be hanging over their heads. And I think he still will be to a point this season. But, again, we'll see if things change. At the end, I don't expect him to get the shot. I don't expect the mandate to change. But who knows? I mean, this whole thing's been so unpredictable. What's the point of guessing anymore? But, no, I absolutely think that, you know, the thing of him being a part-time player, had they tried that, you know, I had someone in the NBA for years tell that's been in the NBA for years tell me the other day that it would have been the equivalent in terms of continuity, camaraderie, and chemistry of throwing a boulder into a small pond every few weeks just based on the way the schedule shook out and the kind of player he is. I mean, he's not a role player. He's a huge part of what they do. So I just think it would have been a very tough thing for them to swing with him as a part-time player, where what if, you know, we've seen this before with him when he was a Celtic with Terry Rozier. What if they play better without him and all of a sudden he comes back in a road trip and they struggle to incorporate him again? You know, do you use a road trip to rest Kevin and James because and run Kyrie out there because they deserve a break from the extra onus they're carrying? So
yeah.
I just think it would have been a very I think it would have opened Pandora's box in terms of potential problems, distractions. And I think, again, these guys are human beings. How would it work if you know, you or I in our job had someone that we reported to or that was only come in every few weeks and then go away for a while again? Like, it's just not a healthy working situation, whether this is the NBA or a 9-to-5 job, in my opinion.
All right, one final question. I thank you very much for your time on this. The role players or the guys that Brooklyn has outside of these three, how good is that? We hear about these kind of players all the time in terms of championship runs. How good are the guys that are not part of the big three but participate and contribute elsewhere?
Yeah, you know, I think that's the part of the team to me that becomes even more interesting now than James and Kevin. You know, LaMarcus Aldridge, Blake Griffin, Paul Millsap, are all past franchise players, and, you know, they're kind of on the back end of their careers, and the Nets were kind of already hoping for them more in the tank than people might think, and now they really need to lean into that a bit more because of the Kyrie's absence. And, you know, they have some young guys like Nick Claxton, Bruce Brown, Javon Carter that I expect to get, you know, significant minutes this year that I think are Cam Thomas, the rookie, can score a lot. But I just think when you look at those guys, you know, the onus on them to contribute, stay healthy, et cetera, I'm forgetting Joe Harris, of course, too, you know, is even more paramount now because, again, it's, you know, there's no one-to-one for Kyrie in the NBA, in my opinion. Same thing with Harden and Durant. You know, there's not one guy on the market, even if you could trade for him, that you know, can do what he does with his handle and his scoring and his shooting. So it's going to be literally a next man up team effort by committee type thing. And I think that they're kind of banking on a lot of those veteran guys that, you know, are quote unquote over the hill to some to show that they still got some left in the tank.
Alex, you do great work at The Athletic, and I love the website and I love what you guys are doing as a company, but I love your coverage of the Brooklyn Nets. Really appreciate your time. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you for having me, man. I'll come back anytime.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate that, especially with Brooklyn. We definitely will get in contact with you. Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. All right, we'll come back, wrap up the show. Get you ready for Dent and Day on Sports Map Radio.